Welcome to the Nourish Me podcast. I'm Joanne Pavin, your host. And if you found yourself here, you're ready to take actionable steps to optimize your health and live a more balanced, productive, and creative life. In our tech-driven world, we need a reminder to slow down, stop the scroll, and take digital breaks. I'm here to inspire you to step away from your screen, to nourish yourself through nature and connection to others, to follow a new algorithm, the rhythm of real life. So let's get started. Hello and welcome back to the show. This is Joanne Pavin, your host of the Nourish Me podcast. If you're new, I'm grateful you're here. Hope you'll stick around. Born and raised in Uganda, Africa, my next guest is a wise, dynamic businesswoman, a mother, an expert in transitions, and another fascinating guest to showcase during International Women's Month. She is Janet Nambi Kiwanuka, CEO and founder of Unconscious Brilliance. A certified life and leadership development coach, she's dedicated to helping entrepreneurs and leaders fall in love again with what they do. She is also a TEDx and motivational speaker. When Janet was on the verge of severe burnout from aggressively running her successful multi-million dollar partnership in recruiting, she realized her definition of success wasn't really her own. Janet left the business to rediscover her passion. During that time, she immersed in a deep spiritual exploration and growth and found the unshakable foundation from which to build her next business. She now helps entrepreneurs and leaders facing burnout to turn their lives around, coaching them to create meaningful success and fulfilling relationships. She currently resides in Washington State in the U.S., and while a successful professional, she stays committed to her first and most important role and job as a mother of four, three boys and one girl. Make sure you listen to the end when she gives us four simple yet profound questions to ask ourselves when facing any decision. Without further ado, I give you Janet Nambi. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Joanne.
I'm so lucky to be here with you today in Women's Month. And so thanks for being here. Janet is calling in from Washington State. She's originally from Uganda, and we met on the little app Clubhouse a couple years ago. And we're grateful to Clubhouse for that because we met a lot of women from around the world, and Janet and I shared a room together, promoting health and ways to optimize your health. And so I developed a friendship with Janet that way. And now there's so many things that have happened just in those 3 years for you and me. And so we are going to dive into Janet's journey of being a businesswoman, an entrepreneur, a mother of four children, and everything in between. So, you know a little bit about you from that intro, but I want to bring them in. You are a rock star. You have a degree in finance, a master's degree in telecommunications management. You have a degree in life, right? That's the most important thing. But you come from banking, you created a recruiting agency, and now you are sharing and coaching others through burnout and transition and business. So why don't we go back to the early days in Uganda where you were born and raised and kind of bring us up to speed to where you are today.
Well, thank you so much. I am truly honored to be here, to be, you know, to be talking to you in this Women's Month. And it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. And as, yeah, it's been a journey, an interesting journey. And you being the connector, you've done a great job at maintaining. I'm sure you have a lot of relationships you've developed over time, but I love that you genuinely maintain your connections and keep them around. And, you know, when I got off Clubhouse and got busier with LinkedIn, There you were. Hey, Janet. I was like, oh, yeah, this is Janet.
Yeah.
And then we reconnected a couple of years later. So it's fantastic mm-hmm. to be here. But yes, I was born and raised in Uganda mm-hmm. and lived there, grew up there up until I was about 16, 17, actually, when my father decided that, you know what, you're going to the UK for A-level. In fact, he decided, you know, everyone that's done with what we call all levels, ordinary levels, and Uganda and the UK system, it's the British system as well. When you're about 16, then you move on to the last 2 years of high school. So those are the advanced levels. He decided you're going, you know, everyone's going to the UK. So my oldest brother went first. And then I followed later. And, I was there from 93 until, 97. And from, you know, while in the UK, I thought, wait a minute. I could actually go to the US. So I visited a friend here in the US and I liked it. I was like, I could put in applications. So I told my dad, hey, look, after all, the US is a little cheaper for university than the UK. Why don't I put in applications? He said, sure, do that, which I did, got accepted to several colleges. But because my friends were in Maryland, when Howard University gave me a placement, I was like, okay, that's where I'm going. I need to be close to people that I know. And that's how I ended up in the States. I did my bachelor's in finance, as you mentioned, my master's in telecommunications management, worked for a bank for about 7 years, mm-hmm. met my husband in 2002 and moved to Colorado for a bit. And then I was like, no, going back home. I'm going back home.
Yeah.
In 2004. And
let me stop you there because I want to know what was it that sparked your motivation to return home to Africa?
Opportunities, business opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. The country was in a growth spurt at that time economically. So I was talking to some friends who, had just moved back from the UK. And they, you know, we were having a conversation. I'm telling them, look, I really want to start. In fact, this was during a visit. I was visiting. It was December 2006. I was visiting. So I'm talking to them. I'm telling them, look, I really want to, there's opportunities here. I want to start a recruiting agency because I see there's a gap. And my friend was like, you know what? She worked for a telecommunications company at that time. She was like, you know what? The telcos are getting ready to outsource their service centers. Why don't we team up and start the recruiting agency together? We can get these contracts. I was like, sure, done.
Yeah.
That's how I ended up staying.
Staying, right, for the opportunity. And you grew that for how long? You said that you grew that successfully to 6 countries?
Yeah.
Amazing.
In a period of 10 years, we were in 6 countries within Africa.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We had about 40 permanent employees and we had about 900 outsourced staff, majority of which were outsourced to telecommunications companies.
Now tell me, were the kids with you or were they back in the States with your husband?
At that time, I only had one child.
Okay.
And he was with me. Yeah. So, my husband joined me later and, because, you know, when I was having children,
yeah.
I would travel back here, work remotely.
Yeah.
Have my children. And then
your family is there. Your parents are there and family is there.
Yes. My family's in Uganda, but I have siblings. I had several siblings here at that time as well. During my travels, I had siblings here. So I would come and stay with them.
Okay.
Quite an interesting.
Yeah. Well, how did you manage then? You had one child and then did you continue to have your children while you were doing the recruiting agency?
Yes. Yes.
So you had many plates going.
I had several plates going. Yes. It's a good thing that, you know, I had the flexibility when I was working with the recruiting agency. My business partners were friends before we were business partners. So I had the
flexibility. Which helps. It helps. Yes.
I had the flexibility to do it as I wanted. And it didn't stop the business, you know, because all three of us were in it. you know, it didn't stop the business from growing. We didn't stop our strategy from taking the direction that we wanted it to take. So yes, I had that flexibility. I would come and sit here and work from here and then go back. And it was back and forth. I did a back and forth for quite a bit.
Yeah. And so you're doing all this and you're growing the business. And then what happened? You got, you know, you were attaining success. And when did you decide to leave, or what happened what was the exit revolved around?
So 10 years down the road, I just felt disconnected. I had the success. I had, you know, it looked good on top, but deep down inside, I just felt like I was just, life was passing me by. And at that time, I didn't even know it was burnout. It just felt like life was just moving so fast. Mm. My children are young. They're growing. I didn't feel like I was giving them enough time. So that disconnection became, you know, it became a problem. It became a challenge for me. I felt it for a whole year before I left. And at that time, I started to seek, you know, I started to find out what is going on. This is my baby. You know, it's supposed to be my passion. What is going on? So being the spiritual person that I am, I sought solace in spirituality. And as I was talking to, let me say my spiritual mentor, he said to me, whatever you do, do not leave without speaking, you know, speaking to your husband, because it's going to disrupt the financial situation. And I think I knew in the back of my mind, 2006, around March, January 2006, I think I, at that point, had decided that I need to part ways. It's just not happening. I just wasn't feeling it. In January, I remember us sitting in strategy. Every year in January, we would sit, the three of us would sit in strategy. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at all these great ideas, but I wasn't feeling my part at all. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I did mention to them that I just feel so exhausted. Ah. I have no idea what is going on, but I feel so exhausted. I feel so disengaged. I feel disconnected. Mm-hmm. I sat then when we were done with strategy, I think I then started to make up my mind that I wanted to take some time off, rediscover myself. So I sat with them individually and told them what I was feeling. And it felt like a divorce. We had journeyed together for 10 years. I knew them way before we started this business. And when we started it, I mean, the energy that we had, it was just amazing. The three of us complemented each other so much. That's how we were able to grow the business exponentially, you know. So it just felt like a divorce. It felt like I was pulling myself away when I didn't want to, but I had to.
Yeah. Well, you raised this child, which was your business, together.
Exactly.
And then you were going to disconnect from that. That is a big challenge. And at that time, you didn't know this was burnout. You just thought you were tired. And when did you start to recognize that this was burnout? Because I know that you pride yourself on helping people through burnout now. Like you help them navigate it, identify it, navigate it, right? So when did you start to realize, like, wow, like were you going through any health issues, or was it just exhaustion?
It was a lot of exhaustion. It was a lot of disengagement. I never knew it was burnout, actually, until I got into coaching. I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was I was telling her what I really wanted to do. I thought, I want to be able to help other women, not to, you know, in fact, this is what I said. I said, I want to be able to help other women define success on their own terms. Because what I realized was, whereas we did, you know, I did very well in that business. It was very successful. But I noticed that I was doing it for other people. Mm-hmm. That it was a status quo thing.
Yeah.
So that was my drive. Like, I have to do this. I have to be an employee, an employer. I have to be successful. I have to be an entrepreneur. I have to. But for who? Because when I was leaving the business, nobody was happy about my decision. My family was so upset about my decision. My husband, I think he was understanding, although I don't think he wanted me to, but I believe he was understanding, right? I told him I just want to do something different, totally different. So many people were like, what in the world are you doing? Are you crazy? How can you leave something that is flourishing like that? Nobody could understand what I was feeling. So I'm talking to a friend of mine. I'm like, you know what? We push ourselves so hard for the status quo. And I just want to do something to help women really live as a woman, take care of all your other responsibilities without having to worry about being so successful. And if you are going to be, so that it could flow naturally instead of doing it for somebody else. And she said to me, you know, check out this lady, Healing with Hand. She has a coaching business online. You might like what she has to say. Mm-hmm. And as I read through Hand's website and I learned what she had a mini video on there and I learned what she was doing, I was like, this is it.
Can you spell that for the listeners?
Healing with Hand, H-I-N-D.
Oh, okay. Healing with Hand. Okay.
So I signed up with her for coaching because she was doing exactly what I needed.
Exactly.
She also had a coach certification program. So I signed up with her and I felt like, okay, life is starting to come back again. That's when I realized that what I was going through was burnout. I had no idea.
Right. Yeah. Cause you were in it. You couldn't see yourself. Others can tell us what we don't see. Sometimes we get angry about, but then we realize, oh yeah, I see it now. Yes. And so you're in this and then you decide to enroll in the coaching and you're going through a transition of leaving your business. But this was all monetary success. Like you walked away from like huge monetary success, yes. Right? Yes. But that wasn't fulfilling you. I think a lot of people go through that. I've even heard it in my own coaching where there'll be people who have hundreds of millions of dollars, but they're still not satisfied because they really feel like, you know, money, success, I've attained it all, but I'm still feeling empty.
Yes.
And so money doesn't buy it all. It's nice to have. It's really nice to have.
Solves a lot of problems.
It does solve a lot of problems. You're right. But so let's go into that transition then. So you feel like you really have led a lot of transitions. And big ones from moving from, you know, one country to the next and going back and forth and then having the children and changing your businesses. So you are the queen of managing transition, obviously.
Maybe that's what I should focus on, is just coach people through transitions, coach women.
It's big. And then we didn't even touch on recent transition, but we'll get there. You're leading in this coaching and you determined how to get out of the burnout. You're working with the coach. What were the steps that helped you get out of the burnout?
What I did not mention is during that break, I actually buried myself in spiritual growth.
I love that.
I needed an anchor. Mm-hmm. I needed something to hold on to make me feel that I can get my life back, you know, that I can. It's a strange feeling. You feel like you've totally lost who you are and your sense of direction. Mm-hmm. And it was so confusing for me to leave my business, really. Cause I remember when I packed up and went home the next week on Monday after dropping off the kids at school, I thought, okay, what do I do next? I was so used to getting up in the morning, getting dressed for business and keeping busy the whole day. And it was so confusing for me.
It was something new, a new routine, right?
Yeah. So I buried myself into my spiritual growth. I actually signed up for classes at a school in Uganda. I was still in Uganda. So I signed up for classes at a school where I was spending 4 hours a day driving there after dropping off the kids. I would drive there and just study my religion. And it was an anchor. While in there, they have an adult section, but they also have young women who are in a boarding section. So as I'm talking to these ladies there, can you do us a favor? Can you do some mentoring for these young ladies? So then I started to do mentoring for the young ladies because they wanted, you know, to help those young women feel that they can have a career and still be successful as women, is basically empowering them. Mm-hmm. And I started doing that and I was really enjoying mentoring. So when I discovered coaching, I was like, okay, this, now life is coming back. Now I can have some purpose. So I, the three then started to work together. The mentoring, the coaching, and the spiritual growth started to give me that life back. So that's where I started to really, what we call rediscover myself or redefine my purpose.
I have to just reflect back on some of the women that I spoke with this month for the episodes for Women's Month. And it's the golden thread that runs through everyone's story. It's the spiritual foundation. And in discussion I had, you know, with another woman, she said the same thing. Like, I wanted to discover my spiritual mission. And once I discover my spiritual mission, everything flows from that. And it's just, it's amazing. It's so common. But many people miss that foundational part, right? That you really can't build, you know, a strong foundation without those roots, those spiritual roots, no matter what they are.
Yeah.
And here we are from around the world with different, maybe religious beliefs or, but we still have that same spiritual connection because really it's all one.
Exactly. It's,
yeah. And I love that. So,
but can you imagine how crazy you look going from, a business that's like paying you, you know, $100,000 a year to going to spiritual.
Giving it all up, right? You're giving up in the worldly things. And that's through our books. And we won't go down the route of, you know, world religions, but it is so true. Like, and there's that lesson of giving up the worldly things because those worldly things aren't going to fill our hearts, but only divine energy can fill our hearts. And that it's like, okay, once we got that, move on.
It brings a sense of contentment that whatever you're doing going forward, it's more purposeful, it's more meaningful, it's more intentional because you have that connection.
That anchor.
Yeah, that anchor, exactly. So that's how it felt for me.
I love that. And so then you've got that strong foundation, you're on your rock, and now you've been stepping up from there. So tell me where you've gone then from your coaching. I know that you're doing that. Can you share a little bit about, I just love the name of your business, Unconscious Brilliant. I really want you to share where you came up with that because that's beautiful.
So when I met Hind, I went through her certification program, coach certification program. She was a business coach. And in her certification program, she offered neuro-linguistic programming as well. So I did that. I mean, I was, because I had found my space, I was like, okay, what do you have? What's next? It was like, I was so hungry to learn about the mind and how it works and why are we making decisions in life that don't belong to us? And how do you follow your own values and live them so you're not living anybody else's values? When I was learning all those things, it was fascinating. So neuro-linguistic programming was just an amazing, it was an amazing program, an amazing lesson.
Modality.
In that, what it did for me, there was an aspect of the certification where you're talking about what your mind is offering you and how you can channel that into making decisions that impact your life. So when I was going through that certification, I remember I bought a book, Neuro-Linguistic Programming for Dummies. And as I was reading,
you like the dummy series because
the dummy series is very cool. It is so cool.
You told me in our prior conversation, you bought the other dummies book,
the coaching
for dummies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it continues.
It must have been the neuro-linguistic programming for dummies where this lady explains what neuro-linguistic programming is doing for the unconscious mind. And that we have so much brilliance that's sitting in our unconscious mind that we just have to bring it out, right? And I thought, wait a minute. So coaching is all about tapping into that brilliance in the unconscious mind. Mm-hmm. That was the light bulb moment. I was like, okay, unconscious brilliance. That's the name of the business.
Yeah, exactly. And it is. It's so powerful, right? And it is because we have this talk that goes on in our brain and no one really puts their attention towards it. And then once we put our attention towards how we're talking to ourselves in our brain, mm-hmm. everything shifts because we can reprogram that. And people say, oh, wait, that's too deep. I don't want to waste my time with that. Well, it's like you're wasting opportunity and your unconscious brilliance if you don't put your attention towards your brain and what's going on in there, like how you're the words that you're saying to yourself unconsciously consciously and unconsciously. So before we go on to the next topic, can you give a little example of how you use it?
How I use
your neuro-linguistic programming, like do you actually just something brief?
Okay. My favorite part is in decision making, when you're trying to make a decision, right? Everyone who asks me, I want to do this, but I'm not sure. I give them four questions. I say, the questions are, what will I gain if I do? What will I gain if I don't? What will I lose if I do? What will I lose if I don't?
Oh, I love that.
That's my favorite.
That's so simple, but yet so effective, right?
Yes.
And so you go through that when you're trying to make a big decision.
When I'm trying to make a big decision, or when I'm trying to help my clients make a big decision. So once you answer all those questions, you know, you get a lot of clarity in the direction you want to take, and your intuition awakens your intuition to the direction you want to take, really.
Yeah. And I think that's what holds a lot of people back, right? It's just the clarity. Yes. And they get stuck in that cycle in their head. There's no clarity, so they don't take action. And then there's no action, so there's no success or progress, right?
Absolutely.
What advice would you give somebody going through transition, like your first, you know, golden rule of trying to make it through the early stages of transition?
Oh my God. Shut out the noise.
Oh, yeah.
It can be so destructive.
Yeah.
We have two types of noises. There's the external noise and there's the internal noise. The external noise is everybody telling you you're crazy. How can you do that? Because everybody's going to give you advice from the lens through which they see the world, of the image that you've shown them. Then that external noise disrupts the internal noise as well. It can be very destructive. It becomes internal noise as well. It's, am I making the right decision? Oh my God, am I crazy? What is going on? Am I going to make it? It is a whirlwind.
No.
And I have been through that. Oh, I could tell you, I don't know how many years I spent.
Yeah. Going through
that. I mean, when I started my coaching business, I knew this is it. This is for me. This is perfect. But this self-doubt was immense because I was transitioning from a partnership where we did so many things together, where if I had if I had a challenge, I had business partners to run to, and hey, you need to fix that. Sometimes it was asking them for advice. Sometimes it was as simple as saying, you need to fix that. I don't know how to do it. I'm not going to do it. You're the expert. You're going to do it. You know what I mean? But now myself, everything is on me. I have to do it all by myself. And the niche drama I had in the beginning, because of all that internal noise of not knowing whether I'm going to be successful or not, because everybody outside is still grappling over the decision, the big decision that I made to leave my successful business. So that internal noise can be very destructive as well. So do whatever you need to do to shut out both.
Yeah. That's difficult. That's a great piece of advice, but it is a challenge.
It is.
Because we're mentally building you're building mental toughness through it, but you're also maybe pushing away relationships that may second guess you, you know, or might think like you're not making the right decision, and then you have to shut them out, and then you're disconnected from relationships that aren't supportive to you anymore.
Yeah.
So that's big. And now you are in a new transition within the past year or the past couple of years that you decided to leave Uganda, come back to Washington, and you recently left your relationship. So this is another. So you start your own business and now you left the relationship. And within that time, you gave a TEDx talk. We didn't touch on that. So I want to just, before we go into the TEDx, I want to ask you, what can you give women who are going through a relationship transition or divorce? There's all of that. That's so important. And that can be like a whole discussion in itself.
That can be a whole. Yes.
I know. But just because it's so common, right? It is common. Women are leaving relationships all the time for different reasons. But what's one thing they can do with that? But outside of the business and shutting out noise, is there something that you recommend or advice that you can give for that?
Yeah. Focus on who you want to be, not what the world wants you to be or what everybody expects you to be, but focus on who you want to be, how you want to show up in your relationships, the ones that are important to you, especially if you have children. You know, just focus on who you want to be. Who is that person that's, look, you know, look to the future, to that person who is, who you will shape yourself into, that's gonna put a smile on your face. Because that's a difficult transition as well. You tend to lose yourself as well, you know, when you're going through a divorce, because life then becomes what you don't know. You're starting a new norm.
Yeah. And it's like another death.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're totally starting a new norm. So at that, you know, in that transition, you really want to focus on who you want to be. You'd have to do, the best thing to do is a lot of work on yourself, because that's what's going to give you the resilience to move forward and make something out of your life that you're proud of, you know. But I always, you know, when I'm talking to people, I often have friends who I'm talking to who will call me up for advice, friends who are struggling in relationships. And the thing that I learned from through my coaching certification at the Life Coach School, I remember one day Brooke said, I don't remember if it was a podcast or I was watching her live, I don't know. But she said, before you leave a relationship, make sure you love that person. I thought, wait, what?
It just gave me chills.
Yeah. It's, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And what she meant was, do everything that you need to do. And that a time will come where you will say to yourself, I've tried everything. And I have no regrets. And it also means that understand the person for who they are and accept them fully for who they are.
Yeah.
Because two things can happen during that period before you leave. Once you understand them for who they are and accept them fully, then you can decide, now that I've accepted this person for who they are, I'm not going to try to change them at all. I'm just going to adjust, you know, adjust myself so I can be able to live with this person. Or you can decide that now that I fully understand who they are and I accept that they are what they are, and it's not my responsibility to try and change them or fix anything, and I don't want to change either, I can walk away happily.
So. Oh, that's beautiful. That's priceless, Janet. that's wonderful. Like, everybody listening just got like free, priceless advice. Like, that's so valuable. That is, that's, you can't, you know, you almost made me cry.
I don't know why I don't do relationship coaching, right?
No, it's really moving, and it's so true, and it's so transcendent. Like, you have to transcend above ego and all of the gunk in our, you know, pre-programmed brains about relationships and women power. It's so transcendent. And so that was so beautiful. I love that. So, all right, let's move now to the TEDx. You were asked to give a TEDx talk. What did you speak on? And I wanted you to share a little bit about that.
Lessons learned,
yeah.
From running away from the money.
Yeah.
Leaving the money. So I based my TED Talk on my transition from, you know, through leaving my business and finding and creating success for me, not for anybody else. So that was the essence of the TED Talk. It was, if you're going to make a decision to transition and leave the money, you know, you can make it. You really can do this on your own. And it was about shutting out the noise, the outside noise, but also empowering those who are in that, you know, those who are going through any kind of transition and what it looks like when you decide that I am doing this for me, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. defining your own success on your own terms and not comparing yourself to everybody else and deciding that if I'm making $10,000, I'm still going to be happy or happier than somebody else making $100,000. Because with any transition, it feels like you've taken so many steps back when you're starting all over again, especially, you know, it was with business. So when you're starting all over again, it feels like you're so many steps back. And doing it at the age that I did it, how old was I? I was in my late 40s. Oh, I don't remember. I was too bad. I stopped counting once I hit 40. I'm in my 40s and doing this transition. It's not easy. You don't have the same energy that you had in your 20s. I started my business when I was 30, I think, the partnership. So that energy I did not have. So it's about being comfortable with the journey and the process as opposed to looking at an end. Discovering yourself never ends. From at least that's what I think. It just never ends.
No.
Constantly learning something new about yourself and how much more you can stretch yourself. But what's comfortable as you're stretching yourself? Instead of looking at the end goal, just say, this is comfortable. Now I can stretch myself a little more. Now this is comfortable. I can stretch myself a little more.
Right. Yeah. The journey is the reward. That so cliche, but it's the truth, right? We have to be in those moments day to day, realizing it's day one every day.
Absolutely.
Day one every day. So you had mentioned in a conversation we had prior to the podcast that you want to do another TEDx and that you feel that your next TEDx would be more revolved around the topic of belonging. And I just love that. So I would love to hear more about why it should be on belonging and a little bit of history behind that.
So going through, this self-discovery journey. I have, in the end, I realized that I'm looking for a place where I belong. So here I was, born and raised in Uganda as a Muslim girl. Then I go to the UK and the culture shock hit me when I was there at the very start because my dad took me to a boarding school. I traveled with my mom. He chose the school, but I traveled with my mom. She lives me. We took a 2-hour train ride from London out to where the school was. I'm meeting new people. I am this 15, 16 year old. I am, you know, going to create new friends in a place that was out in the boondocks. No family member, no friend, nobody I knew. So she leaves me there. It was a nice small school, nice small private school. I think it was about like 50 students in the whole school. And it's, you know, now at that age, you're just trying to fit in. You know, you try to talk like, you know, them so they can understand you. I had to sharpen my British accent so I can be understood.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to put on the many faces and voices.
Exactly.
Right?
So at that age, I was fitting in. Then I decided, okay, I'm going to the US. I come here. It was in college. You're a little more mature now. You're pretty independent. You're being who you are. I think in college I had the opportunity to be myself because people were fascinated about going to Howard. They were fascinated by, you know, my Africanness, and you can tell that a lot of African Americans want that belonging as well. I was more of myself in college. And when I started working at the bank, my first job out of college was working at the bank. In there, I am a Black girl. I felt different.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. Because to be honest with you, majority of my colleagues were white. There were some people who were not, but we were the minority. But me being the African, it was never something that I looked at. No, because we, you know, I grew up in Uganda. I did not grow up in a country where I felt as a minority. So in the back, it was never something I looked out for. But what the organizations do when they start making noise about diversity, equity, and inclusion, that's when you start to think, oh, wait. I'm different, right?
Yeah, that's when you start looking at it. Otherwise, you don't know about it.
Otherwise, you don't know. But it did not bother me either way. I was never one to feel left out. I had great bosses. They were fantastic. They would take me to, I was in the corporate lending division where we were working with organizations that were making $10 to $100 million. That was the mid-market. My bosses, white males, they were fantastic. They're like, Janet, we have a deal. Let's go talk to so-and-so. We would go to meetings. They would introduce me to all of the things that I needed to do to become my own, you know, a relationship manager. But then this is what's odd. They're giving me everything on a plate. I get to a meeting and I'm sitting with four white males because the business owners, the account, the, you know, the CFO, you've got the business owner, the CFO and whoever else, plus my boss is also a white male. And I'm sitting there like below.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, different.
But you held your own.
I held my own. And it was very, let me be honest. I never felt like the minority, to be honest with you. So what I would do is listen in on the conversations. Where I would lose myself was when they're talking about their children. I didn't have it at that time. They're like, oh, my son loves soccer and this and that. And I'm thinking, oh, how do I contribute to this conversation?
Yeah, you did not have the kids yet. Right.
I didn't have any kids then. So that's where I would feel lost and confused. Right. Because you're showing up as I want to contribute to the conversation. I want to be part of it. And what I did not realize at that time was I didn't have to contribute to everything.
Right. Exactly.
Naturally. And but like, and talk about your wish to have kids or something like that. So. Yeah. After being at the bank for 7 years, I had my first child. And at that time, being the African, the being born and raised in Africa, with a mother who was a stay-at-home mom, I think subconsciously those roots were calling. It was, you do not leave your child in daycare at 6 weeks. And I looked at him. I said, no, I can't.
Yeah.
Resigned from my position after 7 years.
Oh, Janet.
So after that, I moved in with my husband. I moved to Colorado. I was still in Maryland, by the way. We met, he was living in Denver, Colorado. I was in Maryland. So I moved to Colorado. And while there, I decided, when we talked about it, you know, I'm going to stay home. Let me take care of him at least until he's a year old. But at a year and a half, that's when I transitioned and moved back home. So as I look back on my life, especially when I was, you know, when I was in college, I remember one day I was reflecting on some of the things that why belonging, right? But when I was hanging out with some friends, I had these very, you know, close friends of mine. One of them was very artistic. She was into fashion and she loved poetry. So she wanted us to go to poetry night. I was like, oh, I would love to experience that. And I remember sitting in that poetry session and everybody's making noises and they're excited when, you know, as the poet is giving their spiel. And I'm sitting there like, oh, why am I not feeling that buzz? You know? Yeah. So as I reflect on some of the things that I did back then, I think I was also looking for a sense of belonging because having been born Muslim, I did not live in a Muslim country. So I always felt like I could fit in anywhere with anyone, right?
What's the primary religion in Uganda?
Christianity. Yeah.
All right.
Christianity. It's the Catholics, Protestants, those traditional religions that we grew up, that I grew up around those traditional religions. Most of the schools that I went to were largely, we had, a lot of our schools had a religious influence. So most of them were Christian based schools. So I did not grow up in an Islamic environment.
Okay.
Except we were Muslims at home, so we would practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I always felt like I could gel with anybody. And I think it gets a little confusing, especially when you're attached to your roots, but at the same token, you're like, no, I can fit in anywhere, you know?
Yeah. Right. No, I agree.
When I reflect back on some of the things, and I think it's been more pronounced, especially in my business. When I started my business, I'm now by myself. I have to decide a niche. Who am I going to work with? Who's going to be comfortable? Then the questions are, who's going to be comfortable working with me? You know, that's when the belonging became so, you know, my sense or my desire to belong became so pronounced, because then the self-doubt was immense. It's much as, and I'll be honest with you, when I was in Uganda, all of my clients, a majority of my clients were Christians. I started out with, I want to work with women who are looking for success, who were trying to define their own success, who are trying to reconnect their passion to what they are doing, basically to avoid burnout. And then I got male clients as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't saying no, because it's a small pool of clients out there. In Uganda, coaching is it's very new. It's not a priority. You know, it's a luxury at those as well. And that added to my pool of confusion.
Yeah.
So then I started to ask myself, wait a minute. I know I can say no. Why am I not saying no to, if I'm working with women, why am I not saying no to the men? But the practice and the experience was very beneficial for me, right? So then it was, but wait a minute, where do I really belong? Who do I really want to work with? Do I work with just Muslim women? Do I work with Muslim women who are divorced? Do I do relationship coaching? Do I do business coaching? I felt like I could do it all and I couldn't make a decision.
Right.
And I thought, oh, wait, I think my challenge is belonging.
That is just like, that's a pinnacle moment, because, you know, I think every woman who's doing solopreneur entrepreneurship goes through that same thing. They have all of these buckets and these options. And there's such confusion about where do I belong with my gifts and talents? Like, what is that niche? And it's a big struggle to get. It's a challenge, and it takes a lot of mental training and a lot of grace, giving yourself grace, and a lot of quieting the noise. So ultimately, when you talk about the belonging, and I know this is going to be a great topic because you want to eventually write a book on it, right? Have you gotten to that niche yet? Or are you still working on it?
I'm getting there. Yeah. I am so close to getting there. This year has been about actually looking into my own sense of belonging.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest. And especially with this transition coming back here, I'm like, really? Am I just going to be the transition woman? transition has a purpose. It has a purpose. Last year, I brought my oldest son back to finish high school. And that's when I learned that, wait, this high school, transitioning from high school to college is no joke.
Yeah.
He needed a lot of support. So I stayed. And as I stayed longer and longer. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe I just need to stay, give him the support that he needs, and then I can bring all the other children back. So with my business, I've taken a step back somewhat. I haven't mm-hmm. been as aggressive as I was before, because it's a new transition. Now that I am in the U.S., I'm thinking, okay, mm-hmm. how do I want
to? You have to adapt to the new demographic of your, it's more, coaching is more accepted. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity.
And I'm working with there's a company called Imagine Growth.
Mm-hmm.
They're very good at, you know, with marketing, online marketing, especially specifically on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting, the process that I'm going through to actually redefine my niche here, you know, yeah. And it's amazing. So I decided, let me enjoy the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me enjoy the process. And I am defining, in fact, as I'm going through this, I'm focusing a lot on what does belonging mean?
It's really kind of a vast, you look out into this open field of once you feel like you belong, then something happens where you don't feel like you belong again. Exactly. And so it's like this continual journey. And I just have to share a little bit about, you were talking about, do I work with just Muslim women? Do I work with Christian women? I think just from sharing the Clubhouse rooms, you might know that I have a lot of knowledge of India, studied in India and in Hinduism. And I love that I have my Hindu friends, and I love that I have my Muslim friends, and I love that I have Christian friends. And through all of those women, even though they might be practicing a different religion, I erase the fact that they have that religion, because at that core, like you'd mentioned, it's the spirituality. It's the one divine that we all connect to. And I think once we erase all the in-between stuff,
yes,
we're all really the same, and we're connected if we believe in that spirituality, some kind of spirituality. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And I just say, you know, I resonate with you on that level where you want to, you know, you had those friends, you grew up in that environment, you know, the ends of the spectrum, right? And we can all come together on common ground of being spiritually connected. Mm-hmm. So I just think that's wonderful, the journey you've been on. Is there anything else you want to share on your advice for transition or burnout or belonging before we close it up? And any last things that are coming to your mind that you want to share?
Like you said earlier, enjoy the journey. It takes sometimes, if you don't know what it really looks like to enjoy the journey, that should be anybody going through a transition. That's the first place you want to work on. That's the first, that's the first thing you want to look at, is how do I enjoy the process? Mm-hmm. Instead of focusing on the end goal, because life is happening every day, every minute, every moment, life is happening. And the only thing we have control over is the minute that I'm sitting here right now and talking to you. This is the only thing I have control over. The minute, you know, I don't know what's going to happen the next 10 minutes.
I know.
As much as I may have a plan, still don't know what's going to happen. So this is all we have control over, is that moment that you're in right now. That's all you have control over. So sit, pull yourself back, relax, give yourself grace, you know, feel it, feel that moment. Accept it for what it is, whether it's a hard moment or a good moment. It, you know, if it's a good moment, embellish it. If it's a hard moment, give yourself grace. Sit in it and just let it be. Just let it be.
Oh, just, yeah, in a Beatles fashion, let it be. Paul McCartney.
Let it be.
Yes, let it be. Let it be. And it is. It's so simple, but we try to complicate the crap out of it, don't we?
Thank you.
It is. It's so simple. Oh, Janet, this has been really a wonderful conversation. And you've pulled me in so that I've almost lost track, because you pulled me in to so many of your wise nuggets that I just got lost in. So I'm sure the listeners will feel the same. Where can people find you, and where can they hook up with you, potentially work with you?
I am mostly on LinkedIn. Janet Nambi is my name on LinkedIn. And I am on the other platforms, just not very active.
Okay.
Again, I used to do the other platforms, all of them at the same time. And I thought, no, they are holding me hostage.
I know.
Find one place that I belong.
And no, it's so true. I'm right there with you. Oh my gosh. Okay. LinkedIn. And then unconsciousbrilliance.com.
Unconsciousbrilliance.com is my website. People can connect with me there. I have just started. Is it a page? What do you call it in Substack?
Oh yeah, no, we're Substack. We're newbies to Substack.
Your
Substack community, so they can search out Janet. All of this will be in the show notes, by the way. But so you're on Substack and you're building your community there.
Yes. So and that community in Substack is going to focus on belonging.
Oh, I love that.
specifically for women. But on LinkedIn, that's where I talk about business. Anybody who wants tips on how to flourish as a solopreneur, you can find me there.
Yeah, and you have wonderful content. I love it. I enjoy it. And you also have a newsletter. You do have a newsletter.
I have a newsletter,
right?
Yes. So yeah. Anybody who follows me will automatically get a request to join my newsletter.
Oh, fantastic. All right, Janet. Well, I can't thank you enough. This was an enlightening and nourishing conversation. You have shared so many wonderful bits of advice for women going through many things, burnout, transition, and belonging. So thank you. And I can't wait for another conversation. I'm sure we'll cross paths again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I loved it. Thank you so much. It's been a great opportunity. Thank you.
I'm so glad. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And if you feel inclined to nourish this podcast, please leave a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts.